CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump, on the next to last day of his Asian trip, he met with business and government leaders to kick off the APEC summit in South Korea. Tomorrow, he will talk trade with China's Xi Jinping. Hurricane Melissa plowed across Cuba today. On Tuesday, Jamaica was in the crosshairs.
Southwestern Jamaica has taken a direct hit, and with many areas of the island cut off by flooding, it is really hard to know the exact toll that the storm has taken, including the number of deaths, now at 7, but that is expected to rise. The officials say Kingston's airport could reopen as soon as tomorrow for emergency relief flights. President Trump overnight also said the U.S. is prepared to send help.
ABC's Lana Louise. The jury has begun deliberating in the trial of a former Illinois sheriff's deputy accused of shooting and killing a black woman in her own home. The trial began last week for Sean Grayson, who is charged with first-degree murder in the shooting of Sonia Massey in July of last year. She called 911 to report a possible intruder in Springfield, Illinois. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation aimed at limiting certain fee increases on the livestock industry. If passed into law, the proposed bill would limit the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's ability to implement a rule change determining fees for animal market and dealer licenses, as well as animal transport vehicle registrations. The agency has previously proposed significant fee increases, one of which would raise the cost for an animal market Class A license from $420 to over $7,400. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has announced it will resume abortion care following a pause earlier this month. The pause was the result of the new federal budget, which prevented family planning organizations from receiving Medicaid funding unless they stopped providing abortion services or gave up their tax-exempt or essential community provider status. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin announced it has given up its essential community provider status, making it eligible to receive those Medicaid funds without ceasing abortion services again. After weeks of consideration, the city of Shell Lake has officially decided what to do with a donated sculpture. The city had originally considered plans to place the sculpture of a woman on a paddleboard with her dog in Memorial Park, but a number of residents expressed concerns over whether the Veterans Park was the right place for it. The city council then decided to accept the sculpture, but tasked the plant commission with finding a better place for it. At its meeting this month, the city council approved placing the sculpture at the Shell Lake Arts Center. Douglas County has been awarded grant funding for environmental assessment work at a Foxborough property. According to a press release, the funding through the agency's Wisconsin Assessment Monies Program will be used to measure contamination at a former gas station in Foxborough. The program seeks to assess environmental conditions at eligible brownfield sites or sites where contamination issues limit their redevelopment options. The goal is to redevelop those properties for another purpose after completing the necessary cleanup work. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a win at home, 121-111 over the New York Knicks. Another big night for Giannis Antetokounmpo, leading with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. NFL, the Packers and the Steelers game drew 28 million viewers, one of the highest rated games in the history of Sunday Night Football. So what did it mean for Jordan Love to have such a strong performance against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think it's pretty meaningful. I think that speaks also to the respect that we have for a guy like Aaron Rodgers and the guys that were here and were able to witness and see what how he would perform, not only on the Sundays, but also, like, you know, in practice and all that. But yeah, Jordan's shown a ton of growth. We have a ton of confidence in him, and I thought he played a complete game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a busy show today. Lots of guests. Amy Barilow from Clean Wisconsin going to join us after the 9:30 news. Going to talk about water in Wisconsin, data centers in Wisconsin getting a lot of attention, especially in the last couple of weeks. So that is going to be a great conversation. I hope you can stick around for that. Emily Zephos is going to be joining us in hour number two. She, of course, is running for office. She has been on the program many times before.
Yes, indeed.
To talk about her campaign and what she is hearing out on the campaign trail. So stick around for that. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we lighten it up with a little audio sorbet where we take a breath, get away from the news. Talk about silly things. Salad wars.
Yeah.
That's on the way.
Nothing but the hardest hitting news and the biggest questions asked here at Matt and Aaron Air. First runner up for a WBA award. That's right. We have a piece of paper.
Salad wars. What do you like on your salad? Do you have salad rules? Are you a on the side Meg Ryan kind of salad person? Are you against nuts and say cranberries in your salads? And this is just among the three of us because these are where these come from.
Yeah.
Pretty strong feelings about salad.
Yeah.
Who knew?
You hate salad outright?
We'll talk about that too. Yes. Salad wars coming up after the 10:30 news. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Halloween themed this week. This Ghouls for You edition.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with this. Milwaukee, this is from WISN. Milwaukee launching a citywide food drive amid the federal shutdown because SNAP benefits are going to run out on Saturday.
Yep.
Milwaukee community leaders starting an emergency citywide food drive to help out families affected by the shutdown, which will cut off SNAP benefits for thousands of people. There are about 230,000 people who typically get SNAP food share benefits in Milwaukee County. It's about $160 per person that they get on the first of the month. Living large on $160 a month.
Yeah.
Because I went to the grocery store over the weekend. I had one bag that was $48.
Oh, it's gotten so much more expensive. And I don't know if you know this, Jane, but grocery prices have not gone down at all.
They haven't?
Items have. There are some items that have. And people like to look to the infamous eggs that were talked about last year. That was a big part of the campaign rally of Donald Trump. The eggs are too expensive.
Yes.
And the eggs were expensive for various reasons. And then the egg prices came down. One of the big reasons is because there was a bird flu that affected the production and the demand. And that has gone away and things have evened itself out. So egg prices have come down. That's great.
That's great.
But that doesn't affect your toothpaste, your pasta, your this, your that. The meat itself has gone up so, so much. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. In fact, I would say a sack of groceries for $40-some, that's hitting the new norm. The new thing of like, well, that seems almost like a deal. What was in there, you know?
Well, so, I was thinking about everything's a dollar.
Yeah.
Now it should be everything starts at $5.
Yeah.
Because everything is $4.99.
For $20, we're going to give you a bag, and you get 2 minutes, and whatever you can put in that bag, you get for $20.
Yeah. By the way, our president said yesterday, quote, in 9 months, we've lifted over 600,000 Americans off food stamps. Wages are rising at the fastest pace. Mm. Energy prices are down. Gasoline prices are down. Grocery prices are down. Donald Trump, president, yesterday. Grocery prices are down, everybody. I think he just thinks that if he says that over and over and over enough times, mm-hmm. people will start to believe it, even although the evidence provided by their own eyes is different.
Yeah, and lifting people off of benefits isn't the same as taking their benefits away from them. There's a big difference between the
cutting
two.
Benefits. Yeah.
If you worked to raise wages and worked to maybe create a more affordable, more solutions towards affordable living, whether it's by the state or partnership, state and federal, like there are ways of doing this, but none of it's happening. And in 9 months, all they have done is just destroy the East Wing, fire lots of people, and do nothing about the things that affect
you
regular taxpaying folk who just live their lives. So, yeah, I again this whole notion of like he's done so much, prove it.
Well, again, for himself, his family's done really, really well.
Yeah,
really, really
yeah.
well.
Yeah,
since he's been back in office, like tripled there.
Oh, yeah.
Their net worth.
Oh, I know.
They're raking it.
I mean, they're selling so many things on the side, too. It's just a feast for the pockets right now for them and people who are around them. We're seeing a lot of – it's good to see billionaire business owners come out of the woodwork to show their support for America – I mean, Donald Trump – and give their money to things they're doing. I mean, I guess the Department of Defense is taking
donations.
$130 million. And yeah, I think troops should be paid. Yes, absolutely. But you know what? I think Congress should work too. They're getting paid.
They are getting paid.
Sorry, I wandered off the point there for a moment, but it's really frustrating because you're right, Jane. He just keeps saying these things.
And no one disputes it.
No one
ever disputes him.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, yes, we'll all nod our heads and mm-hmm. repeat what he says and be his stenographer, essentially, yeah. instead of pushing back. Yeah. Feeding America will have bins out. Donation sites include Milwaukee City Hall, the County Courthouse, the Marsha Coggs Health Center, FISERV, all MPS schools, police districts, public libraries, and the Masonic Temple Church. We will put this link in our show notes if you would like to help out, make some donations, make some food donations. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter is really good. These are non-perishable
things.
Yeah,
we need non-perishable foods.
So things that are going to last on the shelf.
And donations are absolutely wonderful, and that's great. And I love seeing communities come together and help each other. But at some point, those donations and those resources are finite, and we have to turn to our government that they make an investment on their people. And whether it's the... You know, we're talking about the government shutdown affecting SNAP, but do not forget that because of the big bill for billionaires, SNAP benefits are going to be decimated by many nickels, Derek Van Orten. But also, we can't turn to a state either for help, too.
Mary Falskowski said it.
We have, and if you want proof of that, Calvin, we have a clip from State Senator Mary Falskowski on the topic of SNAP benefits and what the state could do with a $4+ billion surplus.
The state now says food share benefits come November will run out. 700,000 Wisconsinites, $114 million a month from the federal government. Is there any scenario that you see that the legislature would step in if this is prolonged?
You know, $114 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And my heart goes out to people. Mm. But this is a federal issue. And I don't see the state having the resources to do that. I just wish that the Democrats would sign this continuing resolution and vote for it, and let's move on.
Well,
they shouldn't be playing games like this.
Oh, right. Let's not play games, Mary. That would be bad.
And $114 million, that is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. You know what? You can't really I'm not going to expect the people of Wisconsin to donate that much money or supplies. We can donate peanut butter and soup and things and clothing and do what we can in our budgets. But at a certain point, it falls to the government. And if the federal government isn't going to get their butts in gear and do something, then the state should do something about it. And Mary Felskowski just going, it's a federal issue and the Democrats' fault. Tell me a better example of leaders not leading. I mean, that is my dog ate the homework, or he started it, or, well, I don't want to. Cool. Why are you in office?
Well, and again, we have money for all kinds of things.
Yes.
We got $172 million for new planes for Christy Noem.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of money for other things, but when it comes to helping out folks who a lot of them are working, and we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
People who receive SNAP benefits in many cases work for companies like Walmart.
People who receive SNAP benefits are people like farmers.
Farmers receive SNAP benefits. Farmers are also on the ACA.
Yeah.
It's not just lazy, non-working moochers.
Yeah. And
what happened to the tariff shelf?
Yeah, there was a tariff
shelf.
There's
all this money just sitting trillions on the tariff shelf, according to the President of the United States.
Yeah, those are his words.
Why can't we just grab a couple million from the tariff shelf and keep the SNAP benefits going?
Because there are people out there who think that apparently it's not like this whole notion of like, well, the government doesn't have to do X, Y, or Z. And yeah, they do. Do you know why? Because we pay our taxes. And that tax money has to be used as resource for funding and investment. They use the money for wars. They use the money for foreign aid. But they should also use the money here. But instead, what we're doing is we're taking programs, we're gutting them, and we're going to hand them directly to billionaires. And what really makes me laugh, not in a ha-ha way, but more in like a, are you serious, are people who say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Are you a billionaire? Are you going to get any of this money? Because they're doing it to you as well. Doesn't make America great. Doesn't make your kitchen table economy great. But you defending this kind of behavior, I don't understand it. Is it just a, I gotcha, I get to win type of thing? Because you're not.
Meanwhile, Attorney General Josh Call in Wisconsin suing the Trump administration over suspending the food share program. This lawsuit has been filed by a number of states. It argues the U.S. Department of Agriculture refusing to use emergency monies Congress has made available for circumstances just like this. They want a court order requiring the USDA to use emergency funds to help maintain SNAP and stop this lapse in payments. In a statement, the attorney general said millions of Americans, including children, seniors, and veterans, are on the verge of losing access to the food assistance they rely upon. No one should have to go hungry because of dysfunction in our federal government. And going back to Derek Van Orden and Mary Felskowski, and well, not Mary, but certainly Derek Van Orden, 5 months ago, all the Republicans voted to gut SNAP. They all voted for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
To cut, what, $500 million?
Quite a few nickels, I will say.
Yeah, there were several nickels involved.
I think it was 400 some million. I can look that up really quick. But yeah, it's also this negotiation in people's head that people, as you said, people who take SNAP, people who take Medicare, Medicaid, people who take any benefits from the government are lazy, moochers, good for nothing, shiftless, all that. No, they're veterans. Their families.
Their seniors on fixed incomes.
Their seniors, their farmers. They're all these folks that who we would just qualify.
You probably see them on the street.
They're probably in your neighborhood.
In your town.
But you're right. You're right. The government has no responsibility to do anything whatsoever except exist, take our money, and give it to their billionaire buddy friends. You're right. We solved America, everybody.
There you go.
All right. I can't wait for the next thing. Maybe they'll just expect me to live on like juices and berries.
Could you do that?
Probably can't afford them. They're very expensive at the store.
Yeah, don't get
very expensive at the store.
Fresh food's very expensive. Yeah. Stay close when we return. Hanging around with more of the best people You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Morgan Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello, live stream. We love you and we miss you.
Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin. Is going to be joining us talking about data centers, which have been getting a lot of attention the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
After Mount Pleasant rejected one.
Caledonia,
thank you. Yeah. And Port Washington is going ahead.
Yeah.
People kind of waited a little bit late to make their voices heard about that. So we will be talking about that after the 9:30 news. I hope you can stick around for that. And just a reminder to sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter.
It's hard to say, like, there are new newsletter.
Our new newsletter is called Civic Media Today.
Yeah, absolutely. You go to civicmedia.substack.com, sign up right there. It's a great distillation of everything going on. It's a daily snapshot of what's happening here at the network. And that includes clips to shows, that includes podcasts, that includes news stories. Everything we think you should know about from Civic Media, we put right there in Civic Media Today. Again, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up. It's absolutely free, along with the Civic Media app. There are so many great free things here,
Jim. We have lots of
free things. There's a lot of free things. And when you sign up for that app, you can take part in text-to-win contest, call. You can leave a voice note. You can leave a voice note if you don't like us.
Absolutely.
And guess what? There are people out there who don't like
That's
us.
That's true. But, there are. But yeah. we welcome your comments.
Exactly. So, yeah, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up today. Tell a friend, too, please.
Please.
That's one of the great things about us is that it's a word-of-mouth campaign as well. We want people to know about us. Tell one friend today about Civic Media
Help us spread the word.
Exactly.
Help us spread
exactly.
the word. Wanted to share this real briefly before we go to the news. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mary Spicuzza, Daniel Bison, Molly Beck have the byline. Wisconsin candidates Maria Lazar and Tom Tiffany facing criticism after attending events with 2020 election denier Michael Flynn. Remember Mike Flynn? Michael Flynn twice pled guilty for lying to the FBI. And then he reversed himself right before the Justice Department came in and dismissed the case. He'd been working for Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But he got a pardon.
Ah, don't worry about it.
So it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, Maria Lazar, who is running for the Supreme Court, and Tom Tiffany now, who has thrown his hat into the race for governor, were both at the Republican County Republican Party of Brown County Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner.
Oh, they've added Trump's name to
it. They added Trump. It used to just be the Lincoln Reagan. Now it's Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner on October 24th, which featured Michael Flynn, again, who pled guilty to lying to the FBI, got pardoned by Trump. Of course, Mike Flynn, also big on the 2020 election denial. Misinformation embraced by QAnon. He's mm-hmm. a big QAnon fan.
Yeah.
About Pizzagate and all of that crazy.
Yeah. That's who gets to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you don't know, Maria Lazar, I can't remember if it's Lazar. Lazar is running for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. You know, the branch that maybe looks at cases like trying to overturn elections.
Yes.
It's good to know who she hangs out with. Yeah. I'm really happy to know that someone like Michael Flynn, who is a convicted criminal, gets to hang out at the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner. Good God. If you want to, like, look, what happened to the Republican Party, Jane? Just say Lincoln Reagan Trump. It's right there in the name.
Judge Lazar, a spokesperson for Lazar, defended her attendance there, saying she attends a wide range of community events to engage with constituents and promote civic dialogue, regardless of who else is there. A spokesperson for Tom Tiffany did not respond to a comment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
If you want to know who she hangs out with and who she likes to discuss with and defend and talk about, look at who she has worked with in the past. It's groups who are very much at the tables at
of
these
conspiracy
events.
Conspiracy theorists.
Well, conspiracy theorists, but also like very pro-life. Anybody that she worked with is at that dinner. She is a more palatable version of Rebecca Bradley. Rebecca Bradley was very outspoken in her thoughts on the last year's election.
Oh, yes.
Very outspoken. She did not stay in. She did not run for election. But this new candidate is the same thing.
Same beliefs.
With polish.
Yeah, same beliefs, but a little more toned down.
Yeah.
So that will just be interesting to see going forward. And they are not letting the 2020 election thing go away.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's almost like they don't have anything else to talk about because they can't campaign on successes unless they're lying about it, like grocery prices or gas prices or rent.
Energy
things
prices.
Like that.
Everything's down, everybody.
Yeah.
Everything's down.
That's why we must have Donald Trump for a third term. To heck with you, Constitution.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. That's a whole
it's
nother
a very,
discussion.
Do you know it's a very burnable document? It's just burnt on paper. Who cares?
The Constitution?
Yeah, we'll forget about it.
Rip it up.
Bah.
News is coming up next, and then we're talking to Clean Wisconsin on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You can't start a fire.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Xcel Energy officials are reminding residents to get caught up on their utility bills or work out a payment plan with their provider before the winter heating moratorium begins. Starting Saturday, utility companies will be prohibited from disconnecting heating services for non-payment. They are not, however, required to restart services for residents who have fallen behind on their bills. Anyone with outstanding utility bills should contact their providers to make payment arrangements or apply for financial assistance before the winter moratorium begins. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to increase the number of apartment buildings with fire sprinkler systems. The package of bills would create a $10 million grant program for landlords to install the fire sprinkler systems and allow local municipalities to pass ordinances requiring apartment buildings be equipped with the sprinklers. Another bill in the package would require the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services to conduct an audit to identify how many buildings do not have sprinkler systems. New rules for hunting and trapping gray wolves in Wisconsin will go into effect this weekend. Wolf population management has been a controversial topic in the state for years, especially in the northern region where higher wolf populations have contributed to an increase in livestock losses for residents. The new rules require faster reporting for wolf kills, a zone-specific hunting tag system, and additional protections for wolf dens. DNR officials say the new rules aim to tighten restrictions to avoid a scenario like 2021 when hunters nearly doubled the harvest quota. A program operated by the Ashland Area Development Corporation has been recognized with a statewide award for the services it provides. The organization's Fund Diversity Program has been named as a recipient of the Wisconsin Economic Development Association's Community and Economic Development Award. The program offers things like business classes, one-on-one coaching opportunities, and targeted grant funding for minority entrepreneurs, including women, Native Americans, people of color, and members of the LGBTQ plus community. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cachemilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know,
Of course I did.
I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
Fucking well, guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Data centers, a big issue, not just in around the country, but here in Wisconsin. Joining us to talk about data centers and some of the concerns around that, from Clean Wisconsin, Amy Berrio is here. Good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
We are wonderful. Thank you. Really looking forward to talking to you about this. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman had the byline. Environmental groups raise alarm on AI data centers' use of energy and water. And I think this is something that people are starting to pay closer attention to as we see our energy bills going up and our water bills going up, because these data centers are big. They suck a lot of both, right? They do.
I think that's what we've seen so far, right? These are different kinds of data centers. They're not the typical that we've had in Wisconsin for years now. They are big. They are AI data centers. They're doing a lot of computing. And so that article you mentioned references an analysis from Clean Wisconsin that seeks to look at just how much energy, for example, are these AI data centers going to use. And we found that just the full build out of the data center in Mount Pleasant, and then just the very first phase of the Microsoft data center, will use far more energy than all of the homes in Wisconsin combined, for example.
Than the entire state.
Correct. So, you know, we're saying about 4.3 million homes worth of energy for those two facilities. And we only have 2.8 million homes in Wisconsin. So again, that's just to show the scale. And I think people are starting to realize the strain that that scale of demand will put on the resources that we all share.
Because I feel like data centers, as you said, there are smaller ones. They've been around. This mm-hmm. data centers are nothing new, but I feel like this push, and in Wisconsin too, especially because I hear commercials on the radio for a data center lobbying group that's telling us all the wonderful, beautiful things about data centers.
Yeah.
When did this start as such a push? Because we were introduced to something called the data center tracking map online, which shows you the location of every data center in America. And there are hundreds upon hundreds of them. But when did it become such a, I don't want to say fashionable thing, but in the news, mainstream thing for us to be concerned about?
Well, and these big, massive data centers.
I think because people started realizing the impacts.
Yeah.
So initially, you know, it felt like AI kind of just like ran onto the scene all of a sudden. And then you started seeing data centers being built all across the country and all across the world in a hurry, big AI data centers. And you started to see those impacts. You mentioned water use. I guess you could call them older AI data centers, the ones from, you know, a few years ago, did use massive amounts of water on site. And people saw that happening and were really upset. It was, you know, these data centers would come in and build really quickly. Here in Wisconsin, you know, we're at the center of the largest freshwater system in the world, our Great Lakes. We have a lot of open land because of our, you know, great farming history.
Sure.
And so we're pretty attractive. And then in 2023, we passed some tax incentives for data centers. So they don't have to pay sales tax on any of those computers and other things that they need in their buildings. Really, you know, everything. You know, you and I, we have to pay sales tax if we go buy some computers. But these richest companies in the world don't have to now in Wisconsin. And so you saw Wisconsin becoming more and more attractive to these data centers. I will say, when you read a press release from data centers right now in Wisconsin, they'll talk about how they are minimizing water use on site. And that may be true. And so we're going to be coming out with a new analysis that looks at offsite water use. So when you have a data center that needs more power than millions of Wisconsin homes, those power plants need water for cooling. Power generation is responsible for more than 70% of water withdrawals in this state. And if we see power plants built to serve the needs of data centers, which we are already seeing with the first phase of the Microsoft data center, we're going to see a real impact to our water resources. And that's something that data center developers are not talking about.
Gee, that's shocking. If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin is our guest, and we are talking about data centers, especially in Wisconsin. When you talked about these tax incentives that they were given in 2023, you know, when they talk about bringing jobs to communities, there are jobs when they are constructing these data centers. Sure. But once they're built, from my understanding, they don't require that many bodies.
It's unclear, right? I think you're seeing data centers, particularly the Oracle, OpenAI, Vantage data center in Port Washington, trying to say, oh, we are going to have, I think, you know, they're trying to beef up their jobs numbers to try to appear more appealing. But we don't really know how many jobs they're going to need on site. We know those buildings are going to be full of computers, not people. And that is for sure. And I think what a lot of communities are calling for is, how about some real guarantees about how much water you're going to use on site, some real transparency about how much energy you're going to need, and some real guarantees that you're going to deliver on some of these job numbers, as limited as they may be. Right now, there's really no teeth to anything.
Well, and that's something that I wanted to talk about just there, because you mentioned just a moment ago about the way they talk about their usage of water, the way they, you know, it's, I want you for a moment, Amy, to be our data center whisperer when it comes to messaging, because you're the communications director for Clean Wisconsin, and they're going to throw a lot of fancy business sentences and fancy words that will probably quell some people when they use things like, we're going to minimize our usage, and we're going to, I think the other term is a closed system and things of that nature. Can you talk about those two things? And then also, from your standpoint, from Clean Wisconsin standpoint, what is a good level? What is something that would be acceptable for you all to see from data centers as far as their water usage, energy usage, to say, look, it's not optimal, but this is something we at least kind of get behind, because it's not going to be billions of gallons a year. I mean, that's a lot to throw at you, but it just feels like when people are talking to us about this, there's a lot of information coming at us, and the biggest concern is water and energy, but they do a really good job of zhuzhing up the language.
Obfuscating,
yes.
One could say.
Yeah, for sure they do. And so they'll talk about, you know, their sort of average amount of water, daily water use that they'll use, and that's fine. But what we really need to know is, how much water are you going to use on the hottest days of the year? Those are the days when, from what we understand, those new technology cooling systems aren't going to be enough. Those are also the days when our water systems are the most stressed. We know with climate change, we have hotter summers. We know we have the potential for longer, more severe droughts. And so when we're in a situation in Wisconsin where we are in a drought, where it's August, we haven't had rain in a couple of weeks, farmers are needing to water their crops, people are needing to, you know, flush their toilets in their homes, everything's under stress. What kind of a guarantee do we have from a data center that they will say, oh, we recognize this, we're gonna cut back, we're gonna maybe not use this data center as much as one of our other ones in some other part of the country? Where are our guarantees that this is gonna happen? What we don't have is any insight, zero, into how much water these data centers are gonna use on the hottest days of the year. And it's important how much power they're going to use during those times, either when our water systems are stressed, because as I mentioned, those power plants need water, or when our energy systems are most stressed, when our grid is stressed. From what we understand, what we've seen from these data center tech companies, they want to be able to access full demand, full everything, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there is no what we would call demand response. No, we'll back off.
If
the state, other people need something. And I think what we really need right now is transparency and some kind of mechanism to ensure that these data centers, when we are stressed, when there isn't enough to go around, will be required to back off of their demands.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Amy Berrio is here with Clean Wisconsin. We're talking about data centers, specifically about their water and energy usage. It's interesting, Amy, because I saw an article last week that talked about some communities that have data centers. They actually want people to, individuals, to sign up and say that we will give the data center permission to lower our usage so they get priority. And I think that's kind of speaking to what you just said about who's going to be prioritized for needs when things get tight, when electricity gets tight, when water gets tight. Are we, do the data centers get it over my neighbor, Marge, who needs fresh water? Seriously, well, but that's what we're talking about.
That was going to be my follow-up. Is like, I felt like I didn't make that up in my head. I felt like you or someone else had said that there's almost a thing where they're going to prioritize the business over the people.
Yeah.
And that, really quick, too, and as a side note, is something that you then want to talk to your elected officials about and ask them questions and ask them for transparency in those deals. But, yeah, can you speak more on that, Amy?
Well, I mean, that is what we've seen happen in some states where and, you know, you kind of know that if you sign up, for example, for the metering program with MG&E, where they can, you know, come in and on days of high demand, like slightly lower your what you're using. That's something that is typically a good thing. Right. So when things are stressed, you can help back off a little bit so that the peak demand doesn't get too high.
Right.
But when there's a priority made that maybe you didn't sign up for, when there are certain entities being prioritized over who gets what, I think you're seeing people in other states, I can't remember which one, it may be West Virginia, getting pretty mad about that.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing these states kind of like, you know, vying to see who can draw in the most data centers, who can be the most attractive. And Wisconsin's played a bit of a part in that as well. But I think communities are getting more and more upset. You've got non-disclosure agreements. You've got shell companies. You've got very little idea of what's going on before these data centers kind of come to town. And by the time they realize what's happening, it's too late. Yeah. And so we don't want to get in that position here in Wisconsin where it's too late. In 10 years, we're regretting all these decisions we're making right now.
Well, and as you said, I think Amy, that more people are getting educated about this and what this means. And we harp on this a lot on this show. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. And the more you know, the better off you're going to be.
And I'm going to put the data center. It's called datacentermap.com and specifically /USA because pretty sure most people would not know this, but there are 4,150 data centers in America, and we're actually below the average. But
for now, because
they see that, as you said, Amy, and as you said, Jane, they see that fresh water as a commodity. And I don't want to say it belongs to us, but we're the people, and I feel like we should be prioritized over these businesses.
We're to continue our conversation with Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin. Troy, I see you. We will take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he has the 27 signatures in the state Senate to activate a constitutional provision allowing the legislature to call the special session itself. But it's not clear if there are the 84 signatures needed from the House. The only competitive congressional district in the state, Congressional District 1, south of Kansas City, is held by Democrat Sharice Davids. We've linked to local reporting and the current congressional maps at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking data centers in Wisconsin. Amy Berrio is our guest with Clean Wisconsin. Amy, we had Troy from Mount Horeb has been very patient waiting on the line. Good morning, Troy. What did you want to say?
Good morning, everyone. I'm just curious, with all the water that they're using, if these communities aren't getting that out of the Great Lakes, and if they are, could we use that to stop them? Because I know Waukesha had to beg for water to get water out of the Great Lakes, and every surrounding state in Canada had to approve that.
Yeah, what kind of, I mean, but obviously, Amy, they're getting, thank you, Troy, appreciate you checking in. But obviously, they're getting okays for this from the state.
Well, they don't really need okays from the state, typically. Like what you're seeing in Port Washington is they are hooking up to the municipal water system to serve them. Same in Racine. So I think, and what Troy was talking about is the Great Lakes Compact, which Clean Wisconsin had a hand in getting passed, I believe, in the late 1990s, early 2000s. And that is meant to protect water in the Great Lakes region, because you not only have data centers coming to Wisconsin, you have them coming to Michigan,
right,
and Minnesota and all these other states. And there has yet to be that level of coordination that there's supposed to be when it comes to protecting water withdrawals from the Great Lakes. Again, Racine and Port Washington are allowed to withdraw water from the Great Lakes because they're municipalities.
Because they're tapping into the city system.
Right. I think, again, what is not recognized is the water that's being used by power plants to serve these data centers, which can be quite a lot. And so that starts to be where things get fuzzy. Most of these data center proposals, like the one in Dane County, the one that's been approved in Beaver Dam, even the latest Microsoft one that was announced a couple of weeks ago, have not even said how much energy they're going to use. So when they're not saying how much energy they need, then you don't know what their water footprint really is, and then you don't really know what the impact is going to be. And so it's just a black hole of information that we have right now.
That seems bad.
I go back to just the simple idea.
That just seems bad.
Transparency. And I think if I'm hearing Troy correctly, it seems like the question ultimately is, and it always is, why does the municipality or the people have to work so much harder to get the water or get the thing, whereas businesses seem to just be able to walk in and be like, we want the thing. Okay. Yeah. And granted, you're right. They're tapping into the municipalities that have access to the water. But I feel like if a data center was moving into Waukesha, they say, we need lake water. They'd be like, very good, sir. Let's do this. It seems like it's always easier for the businesses.
Well, and while we're talking about water, Amy, because again, I can't even say I'm a science adjacent. Why can't they all have closed water systems? Wouldn't this alleviate a lot of these problems? Or is there some way that the water gets contaminated as it's going through that initial cooling phase that they can't reuse it?
We tried so hard to science during the commercial break.
And we couldn't. That's why.
Well, okay, there's a few layers here. First of all, Microsoft and Vantage, the two data centers that have been, talking the most about what they're going to do, say they are going to use closed-loop systems, which means they're not going to be actively withdrawing millions and millions of gallons of water on site every day.
Right.
But those systems are proprietary, so we don't really know how they work. We have some information that on the hottest days of the year, they won't be as effective, and there will need to be more withdrawals in those days. We do know that our power plants, coal, gas, nuclear, do not use water reuse systems and, in fact, can withdraw quite a bit of water. So we think that data centers, when you look at their real water footprint, the ones that we're talking about, will be pulling an entire city's worth of water as their water footprint when you include
the electric
needs. So these are things that, again, it comes down to that transparency. Why don't we know how much water how much energy the new Microsoft data center is going to use that was announced a couple of weeks ago? Why aren't they talking about it? They say it's going to be the most powerful in the world. We don't know what the energy use is really going to be, what that demand is going to be on our energy systems. So I think it's hard to discuss these issues with any kind of real knowledge, whether you're sciencey or not, if you don't have any information.
Yeah.
And that's where I would say, folks, if this is a situation that concerns you, and unfortunately we can't take all the calls this morning on this, if this is a situation that concerns you, especially transparency, this is when you go to myvote.wi.gov, look up your county supervisors, your council village members, tell them that, okay, if they're going to talk to groups that want to put data centers in, we need points of transparency here so we know what they're doing and how it will affect our communities. Because just saying, yeah, go ahead and live, yeah, it's fine, do it later, that's not good enough. Well, we need the transparency.
Seriously, I don't know how you can expect it to make an informed decision when you don't have all the facts.
And you'll see these companies coming in and, the landowners sign non-disclosure agreements, the local municipalities are under NDAs, and then it becomes really hard to get information, until it's already approved.
There's an old saying that comes to mind about mushrooms and keeping them in the dark somehow that just keeps popping in my head. Not going to go into that. We're just about out
of time. I was told
there'd
be no science.
There's no science. We're not good at science. Amy Berrio is Communications Director for Clean Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for your time, Amy. We'll love to have you back. We know you have a new report coming out.
That's right. Happy to talk about that anytime.
We'll have you back when that report comes out. Thank you so much. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, darling, I love only you. You never know it hurt me so. I hate to see.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa churning across Cuba after devastating Jamaica. It arrived there as a Category 5 storm, the strongest hurricane to ever hit the island. They are still assessing the damage. President Trump is in South Korea, where he met with the prime minister and will sit down soon with China's Xi Jinping. The Federal Reserve is expected to lower interest rates by a quarter point at the end of its meeting today. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more on where you might feel that cut first.
The average credit card rate is still near a record high 20%. A new 60-month car loan, 7.1%. And the 30-year fixed mortgage rate just hit the lowest level in a year at 6.13%. The typical rule is that if you're able to drop a full percentage point off your mortgage rate, it is a good time to refinance.
Uber says the San Francisco Bay Area will be the first market to roll out its specially built autonomous taxis, which are expected to launch late next year. This is ABC News.